Readout 005, Christianity and Homosexuality. Now, I'm absolutely sure that the title alone is going to make a lot of Christians go, uh-oh, real quick. Those who know me well have heard me talk about this fairly often. Because I think my viewpoint is unusual in the current world of Christianity. I also believe it's biblically defendable. But finally, I also believe that not every Christian is required to believe as I do. So, what do I believe and why do I say it's biblical? First and foremost, I believe Jesus came here to teach love, and in part of teaching love, he taught mercy as being better, or shall we say, higher in protocol, in priority than judgment. Doesn't mean the law is going away. It means we are, I think, to consider the circumstances and the person before we consider the letter. Jesus was in a discussion at one point with some people talking about marriage, and he had said several things about marriage that, A, basically made it sound very difficult. And one of the people in the discussion said, well, my goodness, if this is the way it is, then we shouldn't marry. Obviously, I'm paraphrasing ever so slightly from KJV. But I won't paraphrase this. Jesus said in response, not everyone can accept this word. Not everyone can accept this. He went on to discuss the nature of there being different reasons for being eunuchs, or people who did, you know. So I think he went on to address maybe some of the thoughts in the person's head, I'm not sure, or he just maybe just went on to say these are different cases of people who are celibate. But he also ended by saying, to he who, to whom this is given, it is given. Which is to say, in my mind, if you are capable of staying out of marriage, by all means do so. But not everybody was given that ability. We agree as Christians that marriage was given as an institution by God for the union of two people. Now, usually we do say man and wife. I'll get there. So my first point of why I think it's biblical is Jesus said, there are people who can and people who can't be single comfortably. Point number two comes from my life more than from a specific element of the Bible, which is going to make it a challenge for some Christians to understand or believe or accept, but I'll give it anyway. I believe I have absolute proof in my life, and several kinds of it, that there are people whose desires are, number one, irregular, and number two, completely unchosen, but rather discovered and inexorable. I mean, they can't be changed. They can't be eradicated, altered, made more, quote-unquote, normal by choices or practices. And I think a lot of people who have tried, there was a documentary called The Sissy Boy Experiment many years ago on this subject, and if I remember correctly, things didn't generally end well in that. There's a number of examples, I'm sure, in the world of psychology of people trying to eradicate desires. But it's not a choice that we make. Now, I'm leaving out the concept of exploration, except to make the aside. I had a cooking and home management instructor one time, maybe many years ago, who said, when showing me a sieve that was hard to clean, don't buy a problem. And I'll always remember that, and I'll apply it in other places. And in this case, I admit, I've told people, don't buy a problem. If you don't feel absolutely urged to go after the same gender, why go do it? You're only going to create confusion and possible desire that you didn't need to create. That's my position on that. Don't court disaster is another way it's said. It really, the point is, it might make more cost in your life than solution. But there are people who just simply are made that way. I state it as a proven fact. I'm sure some will disagree with that, and you're allowed to, but I believe it absolutely has represented itself to me as a fact in this world that people can be born wanting, in this case, the same gender, sexually. Now, I don't happen to be one of them, but I don't have a problem with the fact there are people that are. So, point one, not everybody can be single. Point two, there are people who can't want what we want them to want. They happen to want the same gender. Point number three, God is just. If you can accept the first two, then you got a difficult question on your hands. How is it that a just God would say to one person in this room, you can have a wife because you need one, and to another person in the room, you need one, but you can't? I don't believe, even if you take out or leave in the question of who's which gender in that particular set of people, I don't believe that's going to strike us as fair. And I don't believe it would strike God as fair. I have repeatedly asked that God show me the way, errors of my ways, if I am wrong. I don't believe that my view is divinely perfect. I believe my view, however, is shaped by prayer and study and by the experiences I've had that lead me to do those two things. And I actually believe that God sometimes shows me a dose of something to understand a bigger picture, kind of like a vaccine gives you the inoculation against a bigger virus. To understand something bigger than we are, sometimes we have to look at something smaller that is representative, and I think that's been done to me. Perhaps in response to prayer, who knows? Anyway, those are three points. How do you do that? And I guess I answer it, you don't. You don't decide one can have it and one can't. If they have the same level of desire and the same level of need, that they can't suddenly rewrite just because they wanna. My answer on point four of four is you don't. I believe God would permit that. Now, there is a five out of four, but I actually started with it, so you could also call it zero. Point number five or zero is this. I don't expect and I don't demand as part of my faith that all Christians agree on this point. Nor do I believe it is my job to make everybody agree on this point, because the nature of peace, readout 002, would contradict that, among things I said in the last one. So, I give this to who wants to listen to it. But that's my belief. And so I defend the notion of civil unions. I have no need for one. Civil unions among same-sex partners, I mean. I have no desire to do it myself, but that isn't important here. What's important here is I don't think I need to tell somebody who doesn't know how to want what I might think is better, which isn't the way I think, but I'm just saying that. I don't think it's my job to make somebody want to do what I might think is better for themselves in an area so personal and so intensely focused as finding a mate. As an aside, I would proffer the concept that in choosing a mate, being as it's a lifelong decision, you can use whatever criteria you want. It absolutely doesn't matter. If you can't be okay dating interracially yourself, I am. But if you're not, that's fine. You don't know how to be comfortable with it, so don't try to live with what you don't know how to live with in your own house. If you don't know how to marry someone who is the same sex or of a different sex or more than 4 years older or younger than you are, by all means, make that a requirement of your application process. You will not offend me. Now, we're going to get different answers if you start talking about things like when you're hiring people for work, when you're giving people a house, when you're letting somebody in your grocery store. But when you're picking a mate to live with, you use whatever works for you for your deciding criteria. That's another belief, and it's not supposed to be in here, but it kind of happened to get in here, into this readout. But I guess it makes sense to put here, because back to 0 or 5 point, I don't expect everybody to agree, but I also don't expect that my criteria for choosing a mate be shared by everyone. And finally, back to my first, I think it was in readout 001, where I said, you can't own, well, I said in several of them, you can't own the result of teaching. You can't own what somebody else does. You can't own what somebody else thinks, what somebody else believes, considers valid, any of that. That's up to you. I say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And Jesus obviously is the one who said that. And that's as far as we can go. So, if you disagree with me, if you disagree with this concept, number one, that won't offend me. I have very good friends who do. And number two, it's not necessary for us, either one, to be responsible for what a third person decides to believe. It might be something we wish a certain person would believe a certain way, but we don't own it. And as long as we remember that, as long as we remember what is ours to own, what isn't, back to my diversity and inclusion thing, we can have I, who believe that this is acceptable under God, you, who might believe it is not, and the third person sitting there trying to make up his or her mind. And we all sit at the table and we talk. And we order lunch. And we split the bill for a pizza. And we play cards. And we have peace.